About Heartwork and Companion for Prayer by Richard Alleyn, recorded by Mark Nanadov, Essex, Ontario, www.allthingsexpounded.com. Instructions about Heartwork. What is to be done on God's part and ours for the cure and keeping of the heart, that we may live in the exercise and growth of grace here and have a comfortable assurance of glory to eternity? By that eminent Gospel Minister, Mr. Richard Alleyn, author of Vindice Pietatis, with a preface by Dr. Annesley, to which is added the Companion for Prayer, by the same author. The second edition, Zechariah 1, 5, and 6. The prophets, do they live forever? But my words, did they not take hold of your fathers? Etc. To the reader, this was the last work of this blessed author, and I wish the improvement of the scope of it may be the first and the last of every reader. That his works have done good, very few have so many heart epistles of commendation. Oh, let nothing be wanting on your part, that this may do more good. Were all our swords of contention beaten into plowshares and pruning hooks, for plowing up the fallow ground of the heart, for pulling up the weeds and cutting off the luxuriances of the heart. Were it the only contention, who should most promote gracious heart work in themselves and others, it would afford comfort both living and dying. We are every one more ready to find fault with others than to mend ourselves. But were heart work more minded, we should have no time for such excursions. This treatise will instruct you in downright Christianity, which if all heartily minded who wear the name of Christian, we had no occasion to fear what men or devils could do against us. Let me assure you, it is more than a probable opinion that unless we attend to plain practical godliness, it is presumption and not faith to expect deliverance. God holds us hovering about our good behavior, our most infallible prognostications, what God will do to us are within us. It is not what we seem, but what we are. God looks at the heart. When the bent and frame of this is right, it cannot but influence the life. And when heart and life please God, nothing can come amiss. God's severest strokes will be blessings. But where the heart is neglected, the providences that are most grateful to flesh and blood will be curses. Christians, you know that it is granted on all hands that God looks most at the heart. Therefore, brutish sinners, when they would evade conviction, boast of their hearts, to excuse their ignorance and sottish profaneness. They will tell you that the heart is good, and thus the father of lies flatters, and ruins them, with a great conceit of their hearts. On the other hand, the most serious Christians are always complaining of their hearts, that they are dead, fickle, false, and unspiritual. Thus the father of lies discomforts them by souring their graces, while their mortification, humility, holy jealousy, their hatred of sin, and sense of its encroachments are warped by Satan to their discouragement. A clear and practical understanding of the way of grace, of temptation, and of duty about the heart will steer us through all the difficulties and dangers we shall meet with on this side of glory. That this book may be blessed to this end is the hearty desire of a willing servant of Christ and Christians. Samuel Annesley. Instructions about heart work. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Proverbs 4:23-27. In these words you observe, number one, a great office in which every man is set with respect to himself. He is a keeper. Keep thy heart. Number two, the trust committed to his care and keeping. Number one, his heart. Keep thy heart. Number two, his lips. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Keep thy mouth and thy lips in order. Keep them from speaking forwardness and from uttering perverse things. Number three, his eyes, verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Keep thine eyes open, look with thine eyes, and keep them from wandering, look right on. Four, his feet, verses 26 and 27, ponder the path of thy feet, remove thy foot from evil. Let thine eye look, and let thy foot walk right on. Let thine eye see the way before thee, and let thy foot walk in it, not turning to the right hand or to the left. Doctrine number one. Every man is appointed by the Lord to be his own keeper. When there is a depositum, there is a custos. He is a trustee to whom a trust is committed. Here take notice. Number one, every man hath other keepers besides himself. The Lord is thy keeper. Psalm 121. Our governors and teachers are keepers. Every man is, or ought to be, his brother's keeper. Magistrates fill the office for the benefit of this country. Ministers for their flocks and congregations. Parents for their children and families. We should have but ill looking to had we no other keepers than ourselves, and all others, as magistrates, ministers, and parents, could do little towards the keeping of us if the Lord were not engaged. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Psalm 127:1. Magistrates will but govern, ministers guide, and parents rule in vain, unless the God of Israel be our keeper. O blessed be the Lord, who, though he hath put the care of us upon ourselves, hath not cast off the care of us himself. Let us bless him for his care and custody, and while we take care of ourselves, let us commit the care of ourselves to him. To both we are exhorted in one word, commit the keeping of your soul to him in well-doing. 1 Peter 4:19. Take all the care you can of yourselves and your own ways, and then cast yourself upon the care of God. Commit the keeping of your souls to him as unto a faithful Creator. Let us commit the keeping of ourselves to the Lord, and let us be comforted in this, that the Lord will take us into his custody, and that then we are in sure hands. He is faithful, and will keep what is committed to him. Beware you, abuse not this comfort. Dare not to say, God will look to me, and therefore I need not to look to myself. He that will not keep himself, God will not keep. He that will not take care of his own soul, says in vain, I have committed that care to the Lord. If thou wilt not take care of thine own soul, thou leavest it to the custody of the devil. And if thou dost, God will leave thee to him also. To say, I commit the keeping of myself to God, and will not take care of myself, is the same in effect as to say, I commit my soul to the custody of Satan. If thou take not care of thyself, God will not take care of thee, and if thou be kept neither by thyself nor by the Lord, into whose hands art thou like to fall, but into the hands of the devil? The devil is a keeper, yet not a protector. Gaoler, the keeper of the prison. All the sinners of the earth are prisoners to this gaoler, and there is no man that escapes this keeper, till he will faithfully keep and look to himself and commit himself to the keeper of Israel. 2. Every man hath others to keep beside himself. not only magistrates who keep their people, or ministers their flocks, or parents their children, but every man is to look to his brethren. It was a question of a wicked one, and it was a wicked question. Am I my brother's keeper? Yet thou art so. Thou art to watch thy brother, and to warn him, to prevent his falling into evil, and to restore and recover him when fallen. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore, etc. Galatians 6:1. Thus, every man hath other keepers and other to keep besides himself. But, number 3, in special, every man is his own keeper. Keep thy soul diligently, Deuteronomy 4:9. And so in the text, keep thy heart with all diligence. Reason number 1. If thou wilt not keep thyself, all the world is not able to keep thee. Ministers will but preach to thee in vain, instruct thee in vain, warn and watch over thee in vain. Magistrates will but govern thee in vain. Parents will look to thee in vain, if thou wilt not look to thyself. God himself will not keep thee, if thou wilt not keep thyself. Men cannot, and God will not. He will be no keeper of the careless ones. Number 2. If thou wilt not keep thyself, the devil will be thy keeper. He will keep thee to thy wickedness. If thou wilt not keep thyself from it, this is every man's especial charge, to keep himself out of the hands of the devil. The devil will have thee, man, if thou look not to thyself. Nay, the devil hath thee already, if thou be careless of thyself. God will keep none but those that under him will keep themselves. Those who will not keep themselves, the devil may come and take them into his custody. The devil goes up and down the world to see if he can find any sheep without a shepherd, and he that is not his own shepherd, God will be none of his shepherd. If thou wilt not keep thyself, God will not keep thee. Thou art a sheep without a shepherd. Here's a man for me, saith the devil. He hath none to look to him, nor will he look to himself. This is a man for me. I will be his keeper. He will not keep himself for God. I will keep him for hell. He is none of God's sheep. I will take him for one of my goats. He is left out for me. He hath left out himself. And therefore, God hath left him out, and I will take him. Number 3. If thou wilt not keep thyself, then thou wilt never keep others that are committed to thy keeping. What a parent, what a neighbor, art thou like to be who art careless of thyself? How are thy poor children to be watched? How is thy family to be governed, if thou keep not thine own soul? He that will not keep his own vineyard, how will he keep that which belongeth to another? He that neglecteth himself and his own soul, how will he keep the souls that are committed to him? Use number 1. Then no man must be a sleeper or a loiterer. Keepers must watch, yea, and work also. He that is set to keep himself is as the keeper of a garden or a vineyard. And so it is expressed, mine own vineyard have I not kept. Canticles 1 verse 6. The garden hath a wall to be kept up, and weeds to be kept under. The vineyard may have wild vines springing up, and exuberant branches that must be pruned and lopped off. Thou hast thy hands full of work, who hast such a vineyard as thyself committed to thy keeping. What standest thou all day idle? Work in thy vineyard. We live most of us as if we wanted work and had nothing to do. We find something to do for this world and our outward man, and therefore here we are busy, but we see not, we consider not, how much we have to do for our souls, and therefore we are idle, as if we had nothing to do. And those that have the greatest work lying upon them, whose work lies most behind hand, who have let all within them run to ruin and lie all out of order, these are usually the men that live as if they had nothing to do. Thou art a keeper, man. a keeper of thine own soul and life. Is all in safety? Is all in good order? Look unto thyself, look into thyself, and see to what a miserable case, for want of good looking to, thou art grown. Conscience, which is thy wall or thy fence, is broken down. The little good that was in thee, thy flowers are withered and plucked up. And how do weeds abound in thee? Pride and lust and covetousness. And those thorns, the cares of this life, have they overrun thy ground. And dost thou yet loiter, as one that hath nothing to do? Thou hast work for every day, thou hast work for every hour. The foxes are waiting, the wild beasts, Satan with his temptations, are breaking in. The weeds are growing up every hour. Behold, thy case is growing worse and worse. Thine eyes more blind, thy heart more hard and senseless daily. Up and be doing, look to thyself. Keep thyself with all diligence, lest thou let all run so far to ruin as the past be past recovery. 2. Then every man must give an account of himself. Whoever hath a trust committed to him must be brought to a reckoning, how he hath discharged his trust. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Romans 14:12. God, who now says, keep thine heart, look to thyself, will then say, how hast thou kept thyself? What care or what pains hast thou taken? And oh, what account will many of us be able to give? Sinner, thou art a careless, heedless soul. Thou takest no thought about thyself. Thou takest thought for thy sheep and oxen. Thou takest care of thy house and thy ground. But what thought dost thou take about thyself, thy miserable sick soul, thy blind and dead soul, thy proud and earthly mind, thy envy, thy frowardness, and thy malice, and enmity against God and his holiness? Those cursed weeds that have overgrown that miserable plight that thy poor soul is in do sufficiently evidence what a wretched keeper thou hast been of thyself. But, man, what an account dost thou think thou shalt give? Dost thou never think of being brought to reckoning? Dost thou think that God will forever let thee alone? Dost thou think that thou shalt never hear of thine idleness and this carelessness of thyself? Thy parents must give an account how they have done their duty, how they have kept thee whilst under their power, whether they have taught, whether they have governed thee and educated thee in the Lord. And thou must give the same account how thou keepest and teachest and governest thy child. Ministers also must give an account of thee, how they have instructed thee, watched, warned thee, and watched over thee. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account. Hebrews 13:17. Think it not much that we deal so plainly and closely with you, and so closely with you, that we are so instant in exhorting and reproving and warning and watching over you. We must give an account how we discharge our duty towards you. Parents must keep their children, ministers must look to their flocks, and must give an account thereof to God. But besides this, every man must give an account of himself to God. Romans 14:12. How he hath obeyed them that were set over him in the Lord, how far he hath hearkened to their counsels, whether he hath received instructions, and submitted to their exhortations and reproofs, whether their discharge of their work towards him hath set him faithfully to his own work concerning himself. And oh, what an account will you give of yourselves to God? What have many of you done more than others that have never had ministers to take care of them? How little have many of you lived better than those that never have been taught? Sinners, look to your hearts. Look upon your lives and understand, if you have so much understanding in you, in what a miserable case you are to this day. Is it not an awful thing that there should be so much ignorance after so much teaching? Are not those hard hearts, those barren and unsavory lives, much more those dissolute and wicked lives that some of you live, that lying and drunkenness and Sabbath breaking and covetousness that some of you live in, are not these sufficient evidences that whatever ministers have been to thee, thou hast been a wretched keeper of thyself? And what a reckoning must you be brought to for this? Dost not think that God will reckon with thee for all? Reckon with thee for lying? Reckon with thee for drunkenness? Reckon with thee for thy carelessness and negligence? What wilt thou say for thyself when God shall demand of thee? How hast thou kept that vineyard committed to thee? How hast thou kept that soul of thine? How hast thou ordered thy life? How wilt thou stand speechless in that day and receive the sentence of an unfaithful steward and an unprofitable servant? End of this part of the recording. Part 2. Read by Mark Nenadov, Essex, Ontario.